Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And as opening, John Coltrane with Dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day and ask you that you have your way. As on our knees to you we pray, with gratitude and grace we say, thank you for another day. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the Channel, Sports in Depth of the show, and NBA, and happy birthday special, as we will be saluting the birthdays of, wow. In the background, Stevie Wonder, tomorrow, the birthday of the first, the Jackie Robinson of African-American radio personalities. Sportscasters, 97 years old tomorrow, the Hal legendary Jackson. Hal Jackson. And also, tomorrow, the birthday of the heavyweight champion who reigned the longest outside of Joe Louis, born in Georgia, the Eastern Assassin, Larry Holmes. And my greatest asset, my daughter Jiminy, celebrates her birthday tomorrow, Jiminy Stanley, and also renowned photographer, P.J. Albert, who has worked with the New York Beacon, Big Red Newspaper, and a host of others. And to all of those, we simply say, happy birthday. And in the background, Stevie Wonder, tomorrow, there will be, tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, or maybe it was next week, I have to check that, Hal Jackson, but Hal, you know, when you talk Hal Jackson, you're talking the first African-American everything. Okay, it was Hal Jackson's great line. It is nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. Hal Jackson was going to be the first African-American broadcaster doing play-by-play baseball. Bill Veeck was going to buy the Baltimore Orioles, but the sale had to be approved by the entire league. And there had been some word that he was going to have some black players, and they weren't going to have that. And Veeck didn't get the sale of the team. He was close to, he had, it was confirmed he was going to buy the Cleveland Indians. And that was his deal. He said, hey, I'm going to right this wrong. 1944, I'm bringing in Satchel Paige. I'm bringing in Josh Gibson. I'm bringing in Willie Wells. I'm bringing in Judy Johnson. I'm bringing in Smokey Joe Wilson. I'm bringing in all the great black players, Carl J. Dent, Charles Billette. So that Friday, had the deal set, Buck Leonard, and all the great players were going to come in. And somebody got word to the commissioner. And when Veeck came in that Monday to sign the papers, they said, the team's already been sold. Hal Jackson was the first everything from a radio standpoint of view. Started out in the Washington, D.C. area. Hal Jackson, working at the Washington, where the Washington Senators played ballpark, is walking along. He was a bat boy. And lo and behold, a gentleman asked Hal, did he want to ride home? And he said, yeah. And he got in. Babe Ruth drove Hal Jackson home. his relationships were so profound. As I said in the story I did, I want to thank Don Thomas for running it, the legendary entertainment editor at the New York Beacon and formerly the Big Red News. And, you know, Hal knew every great personality of the 20th century. They either were friends or comrades. I'm talking about Josh Gibson. I'm talking about Martin Luther King. It was Hal who was with Martha, with Mr. Jackson. In fact, Mr. King, in fact, they talk in the article in today's Daily News about that incident. Let's go to it. Nice article written by David Hickley. The night Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, Hal Jackson was on the radio and in the streets urging his listeners not to dishonor King's memory with destruction. He had some creed there because Jackson was fighting for King's causes before King was a teenager. Jackson was the first black announcer on network radio, the first black play-by-play sports announcer, and a radio pioneer from Washington, D.C. to New York, where he still heard Sundays on WBLS 107.5 AM with his Sunday morning classics. Hal said in his book that him and Mr. King would always eat dinner with Mr. King. How was there, if you remember the history of Mr. King, Mr. King was at a book signing, and a lady came and stabbed him with a letter opener. And Hal was there. And Hal remembered weeks before he was killed, he was with him, and you know, Martin was taking in everything, engulfing his surroundings. And he looked at Martin and said, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "No, Hal," he said, I'm just taking things in because I'm not coming this way again." It was Michael Jackson who said he would always be indebted to Hal Jackson because Hal Jackson was the first person to put him and his brothers on television. The accolades are endless. The people he helped are renowned and just incredible. Stevie Wonder, who will be at an affair. I'm checking the honor. Let me see. For many years, he had to enter radios through the back doors. Once inside, he helped knock down the front doors for those who follow. To honor that life and that career, Debbie Jackson and a youth development foundation that Jackson launched 40 years ago are throwing an intimate evening with Hal Jackson and friends Wednesday night at Battery Gardens. I don't know if it's this Wednesday or next Wednesday. Guests expected to attend and say thank you, Stevie Wonder, Joel Austin, Ted Mills of Blue Magic, Melba Moore. Here's something. Listen to this now. And a couple of graduates from Jackson's annual Talent Teen International Showcase, Allison Williams and Melissa Morgan. Now, Hal brought the Talent Teen program into existence because there were no black pageants for African American and Latin women. You can't say enough. Hal Jackson was my second great mentor in radio. The late, great Dr. Frank Bannister was the first. The late, great Arthur Rush Jr. was the third. Hal Jackson was the second. It was Hal Jackson up at the studios at 12B on Lenox Avenue, 125th Street. And I remember my friend Fred Bishop, who was in the Air Force with me, said, "Why don't we take the police test, Mel?" And I asked Mr. Jackson, you know, what he thought about that. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Mel, there's no security in radio." He pushed me toward the test, and that's how I happened to have a dual career. And tomorrow, he's 97 years old. Tomorrow, Larry Holmes, who reigned longer than any other heavyweight champion outside of Joe Louis, celebrates a birthday. P.J. Albert, renowned photographer out of Harlem, celebrates a birthday. And my darling, Demony Venus Daly, I can't believe she's 30, celebrates a birthday tomorrow. You cannot put into words how Hal talked in his book about how Jackie Robinson, and Hal was the Jackie Robinson of radio, most people. Hal talked in his book how Jackie had called him and talked about contemplating giving up the cause to be the first black player. Can you think of that? The Yankees didn't get a black player in 1955. The Red Sox were the last team to get one in 1959. In 1959, Jackie Robinson had been retired 3 years. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Like I said, we were just doing a little birthday acknowledgement. Happy birthday, Hal Jackson. Love you deeply and dearly. Larry Holmes, great, great champion. P.J. Albert, my man, love you. And Demony, my most prized possession. Happy birthday to you. And enjoy your day tomorrow. Now, you know, it's amazing. You know, it was Hal Jackson who started the whole movement for King Day. And this song that you hear by Stevie Wonder is the song sung for the remembrance and saluting Dr. King's birthday. Okay, the Hoopsin Lady A is here. We've got ourselves.
Hey,
oh, we got a good amount of time left.
Even, Hoopsin,
okay, Hoopsin, what's the story here? Now, you know, you said here, and we've talked about this here on Sports in Depth way, way back. And once again, I've always said, by the grace of God, you know, my crew is the best there is, you know, as well as anybody. You said what was going to happen has happened. What's the latest with this NBA setup there, Hoopsin?
Sorry, I want to say good evening. Hi, lady.
Hey, how you doing, honey? What's going on?
Okay. I want to tell you they canceled some more games for November.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Find
they
that
did.
Out, huh? You did find
they
that
did.
Out?
They did. I'm sorry. And then that game, the Knicks will be playing against the Heat.
Now, Hoops, let me ask you a quick question. Doc and I were talking about it earlier. I had heard on one of the reporting, that they're talking about if they do settle before December of doing a back-to-back-to-back setup as far as their game schedule. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I heard the same thing, but that's going to be tough. Don't forget, you got the free agents, and plus they don't have camp. It's a mess. The place is going to be out of shape. There's going to be a lot of injuries.
And the back-to-back, are we talking about playing just
three games
back-to-back nights, like
mm-hmm.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I heard that. Right, that's correct.
Wow. Mm.
Doc and I were talking now. The last time they did that was the late 90s, right, when they had the strike in the 90s.
Yeah,
and the season
that's when the Knicks went to the finals. Yeah, that's
right.
Correct. When the Knicks went to the finals. 50-something games. 50 games.
Is there any, in 1994, the year that Michael Jordan, is there any talk about maybe playing doubleheaders? In other words, I mean, you figure, okay, you know what, you got New York City, so you can have the Knicks play maybe Boston and have Philadelphia play Washington, or you could have the Knicks play, you know, something like that where the teams in the local area, per se, Philadelphia, Washington, Boston, New York, maybe could converge in the guard, or go to Boston and play a doubleheader, or go down to Washington. So the Sixers could play, look at the Nets. I mean, in those areas there, the Nets could play Seattle, and the Lakers could play Philly, something like that.
Or they could play the Clippers.
You bring all the West Coast teams in at one shot. You're only going to see them one time anyway. So you have the Nets play something like that. Then you could turn around. You could play L.A., could play the Nets on Friday and come to the Garden on Saturday. And you could flip it. You know, the Clippers could play the Knicks tonight and Nets tomorrow night, and now they've made their West Coast journey to the East Coast. It's a thought. Well, maybe, hey, Commissioner Doc Stanley.
That's a good thought. You need a fact that the Commissioner Stern. Give him an idea. You got some more NBA. You know, your good friend, Lady A's dad's friend, Shaquille O'Neal, got a book coming out.
Oh,
Yes, he does. He's going to be talking about he almost had a fight with Pat Riley.
Those two have been at it for quite a long time already. I mean, their feud goes back for years already, since Kobe had the allegation of, you know, all the sexual misconduct stuff that he got locked up for. But I mean, that feud goes back for years, and I think even though they were trying to show as though, you know, everything was pretty much water under the bridge, for general public's sake, you know, and also for, you know, for team's sake. I just think that, I mean, arguably people still know that there was still some kind of bad blood between the two of them. So, right.
You know,
so.
To use that classic line by your beloved Harold Weston, that whole thing between Kobe, you hate to see, you know, just any teammates, especially brothers.
Two superstars.
And Harold's great line. You know, that whole situation, sad and touching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea is to win. The idea is to work together on the floor. And you know, what you do off the floor you know, it's your own business. But that whole thing, it was personal. It stayed so personal. And I remember it was me and Spike, Spike Lee, at the Texas Rangers game. A-Rod was still a Texas Ranger, and you know, we were talking about, you know, certain things about the situation, and it was just, you know, just sad and touching. Hoopsa, we ain't gonna hold you if you got to run. Thanks for the latest update. We'll probably try to
more.
Get you.
I got more.
Go.
That's with Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher told the players, "Do not talk to the owners or nobody. No under the table deals."
Now, is he doing that? Is he doing that for the sake of trying to prevent leaks from getting to the media?
Exactly.
Or is he doing it just for, you know, for bargaining issues? You know, what
both.
Was...
Both.
Okay.
For the press and that reason. That's exactly right.
You know, it's funny.
Right.
I remember Bob Traynor, Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. If you want to join us, 914-338-0695, 914-338-0695. We're going to be on another good 15 minutes. It's an NBA birthday special. Once again, saying happy birthday to the legendary Hal Jackson, 97 years old in a matter of minutes. And Larry Holmes, the longest reigning heavyweight champion in the history of boxing outside the immortal Joe Louis. Happy birthday to my beloved darling, Jiminy Stanley. And
yeah, said Jiminy's renowned, happy birthday, wow.
Oh, yeah, and renowned.
Wow.
I know, renowned. Photographer Pete Alba. You know, the thing about Jiminy, you know, Jiminy, in traveling with me, she has pictures with Duran, Ray Leonard, David Dinkins, Mayor Koch, Mark Breland, Larry. I wish I could get that picture of her and Larry so we could run it. And it, she at the time had to be about 4 years old.
Aww.
And at a press conference, 4 years old, her and Larry. And then I remember another picture she took with Mike Tyson press conference, and I'll never forget it because it was the Tyson Holmes press conference. And now that we think about it, and Gail Sayers was there, and I remember Gail talking to me about Jim Brown, and I talked to Mike, and I said, "Mike, when you get a chance, champ, could you go over and say something to my daughter?" And you know, you can't. Mike Tyson was the last great heavyweight champion of the 20th century, and you couldn't meet a greater person. All you know. And he said,
right.
"Well, you know," and he said, "Yeah." And then about 10 minutes later, he's coming over the table, and he, you know, I mean, as if this is what he had to do. This is what, you know, I mean, we were just beginning our friendship, and he came over, and Dimity had some chocolate mousse, and I said, "Dimity, give the champ a little chocolate mousse." She said, "No, Pop, let him get his own." And Mike laughed, said, "Leave alone." The next day, I'm patrolling out on Howard Beach, and I'm looking at Newsday. Lo and behold, that picture of Demi and Mike Tyson was in Newsday. In fact, I'm looking at it now, and I also gave her a copy, and I also kept one for
myself.
Hey, speaking
about Mike Tyson, hey, Lady A, I know I was telling Stan the other day, they were filming, yeah, I know you heard they're going to be filming a new Mike Tyson movie called The Brick. Spike Lee directed it. You know, they filmed it right around the corner from my house.
Really?
It's coming out next year.
Wow.
Yeah. The article, it's
yep.
I'm trying to, I didn't have the date, but it's from the section of people, places, and things, and it has a cute caption. "Not so fast, champ. Jiminy Stanley 5, Grand Heavyweight Champion Mike Tyson a kiss, but she clearly wants to retain sole possession of the ice cream." And you see Jiminy giving Mike a kiss, but she's guarding her ice cream. I remember she said, "No, Pop, let her get his own." And to this day, whenever Mike sees me, the first thing he asks me is, "How's my girl?" Mike Tyson, I love Mike dearly. Mike has been great to me. He's been great to his people. He's been great to the African-American media. He's been great to the press in general. Mike Tyson was, and the late Bill Gallo talked about, the last great heavyweight champion of the two. Mike Tyson was the last champion that everybody knew was the heavyweight champion of the world, whether he was at the Indianapolis race on Friday, or he was at the rodeo in Texas, or he was in Germany at the car show.
He's living my theater.
Well, I mean, and the thing about Mike, he was begotten in the linkage of Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Rocky Marciano, Floyd Patterson, the great champion. I mean, guys who held the belt, and when the world saw the heavyweight champion as the most prestigious position in sports, and the most recognizable athlete in all the sports. And he was the last. He was the last great guy. The last great guy. And unfortunately, the being incarcerated was just totally unfair. And talking about boxing right now, Lady A, Don King has a card coming up. But you were talking about something that, as we are in about the last few minutes here, I should have done 45 minutes, but I wanted to make sure we did it tight and easy. Margarito and Pacquiao. And you say, looking back over the fights, you thought that Marquez got a bad deal. Should have won one of those.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said Marquez and Pacquiao or Margarito and Pacquiao? I'm sorry. Which one are you talking about?
Marquez and Pacquiao.
Okay.
Margarito. I'm sorry.
What about them?
Well, you felt that Marquez got a bad deal.
Well, yeah. Arguably, I mean, the argument could be made that, you know, hey, one of the biggest things that was a deterrent to him winning the first fight was that he went down three times in the first round. But once again, in reviewing the fights and watching the fights, and I mean the first and second fight, of course, but primarily I'm talking right now about the first fight, one of the things that I saw was that, once again, Marquez was able to make the adjustments to get back in the fight. When you look at the second, he got knocked on the first round. Now you start seeing him making small strides in the second and third round, right? Okay. Uh-huh. In the fourth round, he rocks Pacquiao. Okay.
At the
end of the fourth round, he rocks Pacquiao with a right. Kind of like you see Pacquiao's like body just go backwards. Doesn't go down. Doesn't go down on the canvas, but you see him get hit really hard. And then at the end of that round, you hear Freddie Rose stressing to him, you know, listen, you know, you have to follow everything with the uppercut. You know, he's stressing the hook. He says to Manny Pacquiao, you got to follow the hook and hit with the uppercut. And you started seeing a little bit of Manny Pacquiao fading, so much so that you hear Emmanuel Stewart in the background saying, Pacquiao's not good backing up. He's not a good counterpuncher. You hear that in the background. He said he keeps using the same method, hitting with the left hand. Arguably, some people will say, well, hey, Pacquiao has changed significantly his fight technique, you know, from the first fight. But when you sit there and you look at the fight, at the first fight, the very first fight, which I would tell people to go back on demand and watch it again, you start to see him make those little mistakes early on. What happens for the latter part of the fight, you start hearing Roach stating in the background, a nice round. He's tired. Start getting back in this. He's tired, you know. And then you start seeing, like, in the fifth round, when, like, once again, because I brought it up before about Marquez having the ability to make the adjustments when he's down in a fight, like with the baby bull. I mentioned the fight with Juan Diaz when he made the adjustment. He also had the same ability back in 2004 when he fought Pacquiao. And you see him hit him in the fifth round, okay, shortly after, Roach was telling Pacquiao, listen, you got to pick it up with the uppercut and the hook. In the fifth round, Marquez takes advantage of it and hits him and opens up his left eye. So now after that, you start seeing slow bursts of Pacquiao starting to get back in the fight, starting to, you know, move his head around more often. And I still feel that fight, even toward the end, it was a draw, but I still feel to some extent I felt like maybe Marquez should have been given an extra round or two. But they made it a draw.
The big thing you said was uphill battle he had with the knockdowns.
Yeah.
So
coming up,
actually,
hey, listen, there's no way you're
going
to come back. Doc, there's no way you're going to come back from 6'10". 6'10". 6'10". Too much.
In a case like that, then, for all intents and purposes, what you're saying is that he won the fight. I mean, he can't. I mean, people forgetting Ali Frazier won. That you know, Joe knocked Ali down. Ali got back up and won that round.
Right.
I mean, that's just it's amazing. People, you know, people forget Ali got back up, swollen jaw and all. And I'll never forget they talked about how Joe had said that he felt that Ali wouldn't want to fight him again after that. And Ali said, "Oh, how wrong he is." People forget, you know, Joe went to the hospital and Joe was supposedly near death's bed.
Right.
Death's door. And Ali had said, you know, if Joe died, he was going to retire from boxing. And people have to understand, you know, the thinking was Ali, the big thing that Freddie Pacheco was upset that he felt that Ali needed one more fight to get ready for Joe. And yet I thought Ali won the fight despite all the clowning around. And if you remember, I'll never forget the cover of Sports Illustrated. and had a picture of Joe Frazier. And Ollie said, you know, I hit him every 3 punches to one, and you know, and
right.
if he wasn't done when he knocked me down in the 15th round, he'd be able to take me out. The Sports Illustrated, and I had that magazine, and I'll never forget the cover, and it said, "Is this the face of a winner?" Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth, to show you always a winner here with Lady A and the Hoopsa. Also, the Doc, Doc Stanley Sports, check the website there, my site, always some memorabilia, and talking about Ollie memorabilia, just looking at some of his stuff the other day, and I was amazed by some of the stuff of the champ I had, and one of the things in the Sports and Depth Hall of Fame is an autographed glove, not only by Ali, but by his lovely daughter, Layla. But the thing that my first piece of memorabilia ever autographed by Ali was a picture of Ali from Sports Illustrated. And my most prized possession, I think, of all the Ali autographs is the Leroy Neiman reprint. I took out a Playboy, and I said, you know, I'm going to meet this guy one day. And then now me and Leo are close friends. And I got it autographed by Ali, Joe, the referee, the late Arthur McCanty, and Leroy, as well as the matchmaker, the legendary Channing Brenner, and also the PR man, the legendary Sean Condon. We've got about another good 4 or 5 minutes.
Hey, Lady A, who are you picking for that fight?
For Pacquiao Marquez, you know, I watch, like Doc knows, I spend a lot of time watching old fights, and I started off, like I said earlier, just watching the 2004 fight and trying to analyze everything, and then when I saw the 08 fight, I got to tell you, it was a toss-up with me between round 7 and round 9 on the second fight with Marquez and Pacquiao. I really think that Pacquiao understands and knows the severity of what it may be like to lose to Marquez. That's why he decided to train an extra 2 weeks, two more weeks. But,
yeah, but see, the thing about training the extra 2 weeks, I don't understand.
You trained extra 2 weeks?
Yeah.
As opposed to 80, the 10-week training period. Yeah.
But I don't understand what that does. I mean,
The thing is this. In many people's minds, like especially the second fight when they gave it to Pacquiao, I went back and I analyzed. I looked at every single round, and to me, like, it was really I thought it was a draw. I really thought that fight was a draw.
Okay. Back off.
So you're looking at two draws. So now you want to, you're establishing the battle of supremacy. You know.
Calm down. My thing is, the idea of training is to have your fighter set that the night that he fights, he's in the best possible shape ever. This is the best fighting machine in the world. So, and now with today's setup, where you weigh in the day before, as my mind works, you're perpetrating the fraud.
Right.
Because, you know, now you weigh in at 147. I weigh in at, well, the two fighters, okay, so the Hoops is 147. I'm 146 and a half. But now tomorrow, depending on how our body chemistry is, Hoops may go to 160. I'm down to 137. The idea, Harold was the one that talked about how that.
He talked about it on the show a couple times.
Tommy Hearns was different at the weigh-in. And Ray Leonard talked about it, too. He said when he looked across the ring at Tommy Hearns, he said, you know, gang, we got to about close it up here. We're at the ending here. And what we're going to do, one more time. Happy birthday, Hal Jackson. Happy birthday, Larry Holmes. Happy birthday, Divinity Stanley. Happy birthday, P.J. Albert. And gang, with that, I got to get ready to tell us good out of here. One more time, we'll be back during the rest of the week and talking some more with the Hoopster. And Lady A, we'll talk definitely between now and Friday.
Who are you picking?
Honestly, I think Pacquiao is going to win, but by decision.
By decision?
Okay.
So right now, we still have a basketball season, but it's getting smaller and smaller.
You're shrinking.
I'm not really sports and depth on the Blake Radio Network.
I'm like to make a comeback. And I'm 50 years old.
Sports and depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Show. Sports and depth of the show. Live your life today. And to stand before God tomorrow. Crew, stand by. Don't leave. We're going to close out. Hang on a second now. Here we go. Larry.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Hoopsa, thanks a million for that update. We needed that. The people have been
asking
what's going to happen
also, you know, they fixed up Madison Square Garden, too. Look really nice.
Oh, yeah, you went in there, Hoopsa? You saw it?
I saw it on the website. Awesome.
Oh, yeah? It looks nice?
You know, the reason why they did it, because they're afraid of that Nets Arena. It's going to be this.
Oh, yeah.
You talking about that place in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something.
Yeah? The real deal?
Let me tell you something. And Doc, you gonna know this. They're gonna outdo the Knicks. You wait. That stadium.
They're gonna try to get boxing
in there. They're gonna take everything.
You bring up a point that's so vital, Hoopsa, because you have so many Knicks fans who live in that Brooklyn Queens area, and how closer and easier and cheaper. I mean, there
it's
are people who can walk to the new place as opposed to having to take a bus or a train. And you're right, you know, with the increase in the train fares.
I'm Atlantic Avenue, right there, boom, right there, across the street.
On a rainy night, you say it's the Nets and the Celtics or the Knicks and the Clippers. You know what? I watched the end of that game once.
They'll sell out. Let me tell you, they will sell it out.
Yeah, they should do
well.
There'll
be a lot of support. Let me tell you something. Everybody's making fun of the Nets, but believe me. They're
going to
be filling out some games.
I hope they have. Who they looking on? How's the team look so far? I mean,
I think the big thing with that is that. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. They got no.
Well,
camp.
You know what? It's not going to matter who's on the team. It's not going to matter who they're playing. It's going to be that whole new thing of people in Brooklyn having something of their own. It's never going to replace the Brooklyn Dodgers. But it's just
close.
God bless
close,
your child to have its own, and Brooklyn's going to have its own. Real quickly, Hoopsa, the season is shrinking. Will we play basketball this year?
You want the truth?
Yeah.
Don't get upset. If they don't settle this by December, goodbye.
Mm.
I'm out
of the
place.
And Lady A, it's close, it's tight, but it's Pacquiao on fight night.
Well,
yeah, I'm seeing Pacquiao. I'm seeing it because, you know, I think you know, just based on what I've seen. Like I said, the first fight I think was even more of a reason. I think they could have given a few more rounds to Marquez. Arguably, I think the second one was a draw. They gave it to Pacquiao. I mean, I think the seventh and ninth rounds were kind of close, and maybe even the tenth. But you know, I think arguably it's going to be Pacquiao. You know,
you going to that fight? You going?
Which one? Pacquiao Marquez?
No.
The Marquez Pacquiao fight, for all intents and purposes, you kind of know who's going to win the fight because everything is looking the possibility of him and Mayweather, and you're not going to let Marquez.
Well, hold on a second, Doc. Remember what I just told you. Now there's rumblings about Bradley sneaking in there, and there's also
on the Arams card. Let me tell
you
something. If Bradley sneaks in there, it will once again validate my confirmation. That Pacquiao. Now you were there with Lee Samuels, and Lee Samuels said that Pacquiao has always told Arum, make the fight with Mayweather, and he always leaves the window. So this leads me to believe, and we got to go, that the holdup in this fight is not Pacquiao, it's Arum, and you know, and he keeps finding other guys for this guy to fight. But somewhere along the line, you know, Pacquiao, I think I had to say, hey, Bob, no, you know, see. I think he should have stepped in and said, with the Margarito fight, Bob, can't fight this guy, Bob, I can't fight this guy. I can't fight this guy, first of all, for what he's done, Bob. And then second of all, I can't fight this guy, Bob, because he's our fighter. This makes us look bad. I'm fighting my cousin almost.
Mm-hmm.
It makes
us
look bad. You know what I mean? And people are still talking about me and Mayweather. So, gang, we got to run. No, I mean, really. So, I mean, this is what Mayweather said, and you were there. It's what Mayweather said. That, you know, when I was with Arum, I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And now, all of a sudden, him and Oscar are the bad guys. Arum seems to do whatever he has to do to make Golden Boy and Mayweather look bad. And it's personal. It's personal. Gang, love you. We got to run. We'll be back. You know, Hoopsa, with things going like this, we'll probably try to do something on Friday. And then we're back together here on Sunday. Once again, happy birthday, Mr. Hal Jackson. Happy birthday, Mr. Larry Holmes. Happy birthday, Mr. P.G. Albert. Happy birthday, my darling, dearest daughter, Demi. Love you, gang. We'll talk later on this week.
Take care, guys. All right. Yo, Husker, see you later, man. All right. All right, bye.
All right, bye.